Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival, and I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Friday, July 8th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Well, we had a nice day in gold today. We had a little bit of reversal this morning due to the jobs report. We got some information on that. As I had predicted yesterday, they were going to give us a number that was beyond reason, of course, with Hillary's free pass and them toting the globe, pushing her campaign. They had to come out with a number, and they even revised the month before down to an incredibly low number, to where there was, 220 jobs created per state in the month of May. So I don't think you have that large of a reversal in a month, but we'll talk about that right after we go through the market report. And initially, gold did respond to that number. It dropped down to 1334. It has rebounded. We're currently looking at 1365, up 440 on New York spot. Silver was up 50 cents at 2025. That too dipped to 1912 shortly after the report was released, and slowly throughout the day it did come back. Platinum was up $9 at 1102, and palladium was up $9 at $623. I mean, anymore you can pretty much see how these markets are going to react on a day-to-day basis. The dollar should have been much higher today, you know, with that huge report, but again, all the other fundamentals for the markets and Wall Street, it's just not there. So the USDX was up 0.08 at 96.30. Crude oil basically unchanged at 45.13. And the markets, naturally, they took off, back up pretty big, over 18,000. The Dow was up 250 points at 18,145. The NASDAQ was up 79 points at 49.56. The S&P was up 31 at 21.29. Although you still have a lot of people running into those bonds, the 10-year yield, 1.37, still low. No reversal there. Euro was still a 111. And Japan was down 1.1%, 160 points overnight. So not a lot of focus on the report today with what's going on in Dallas. And but the non-farm payrolls rose by a seasonally adjusted 287,000 in June. And, of course, May was revised to 11,000. This number, the 287, the 287,000, that was boosted a little bit by the strike at Verizon that was that ended. And so, you know, that shaved some off. But the so if you really run the numbers, and John Williams always does a great job in producing the numbers, the unemployment numbers. Government uses U3, and we certainly know that's the easy one to manipulate. I actually read out that they're going to blame Brexit for future bad numbers. So they're already setting it up.
Afford a producer?
Pardon?
Can't they afford a radio producer?
Perhaps
we always blame Frank when something goes wrong. I don't know. Maybe they could, Frank. Maybe you'd like to volunteer to be the scapegoat for whatever goes wrong, not just in the radio program, but I mean in government. What about that, Frank?
It's all your fault. It's got to be somebody's fault. But average hourly earnings for the private sector, they rose by a modest whole 2% in June. But then again, you'd have to think that wages up a little bit. Maybe that's because you have several states pushing and implementing the $15 minimum wage. That could have had some impact on showing that whole few cents that was increased. One of the few industries that shed jobs, they show, was mining. And as I mentioned yesterday, this report, will only supposedly help Hillary as she rides the Obama tail, coattail, in trying to get elected. But we all know the true fundamentals, and come November, it's going to be very interesting.
Well, you know, one of the things that's Hillary and Trump have gotten into this in the past, at least Trump has, where he's alleged, if I understand and recall correctly, he's alleged that the numbers government is cranking out on the unemployment rate do not reflect reality. Government says we have 4.6% unemployment. Trump basically agrees with John Williams at shadowstats.com that it's up over 20%.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's going to come out. And one of these days, Hillary and Trump are going to lock horns over that issue, or at least there's a high probability they're going to lock horns. And when they do, that issue is going to be brought to the front, and almost certainly we're going to see some evidence to find out who is telling the truth and who is closer to reality. Is it John Williams who claims it's about 23% unemployment, or is it the government who claims it's 4.6% unemployment? We're going to find out what the truth is just out of the conflict that's probably going to take place over the course of this election.
Here's a simple equation. If you have 124 million American adults working, 94 million are not, that's a little even higher than 20%. So, again, things are not difficult times coming, folks. Something bad is coming our way, and again, I hope you're prepared. It was good to see gold respond shortly after the initial report, and so I think the legs are on gold, and I don't think we'll see it break 1300 again. Sure, I think we'll maybe stick around this 1350, 1360 level, but who knows what next week might bring. There was also gaps between yields on 2- and 10-year Treasury notes. measure of the yield curve fell to about 75.5 basis points today. And here's another, you know, reverting back to the Great Recession. This is the flattest since November 2007. So here's another number that is in relationship to going into 2008, 9, and 10. And so, yeah, it's another, this might be another 2x4 floating through the air, might be a leaf. I do want to make an announcement because I always forget to make these announcements by the end of the program. I'm excited to announce that next Tuesday we have an interview with Doug Noland, and he has a 25-year career on Wall Street. He became an impassioned reader of the Rickenbacker letter. He also assisted him with his publication. This publication opened his eyes to Austrian economics. And I'm looking forward to his interview. His website is Credit Bubble Bulletin. And so he will join us on Tuesday, July 12th. So make sure you also join us for that interview. What else do we have, Al?
Got one here from Quartz Magazine. It says a third of global government debt now has negative interest rates. A third of the governments of the world, a third of their debt now have negative interest rates. If you were to buy at random any government bond, there is a 1 in 3 chance that you'd lose money if you held on to it until it matured. That is around a third of all developed country government debt, or more than $7 trillion in terms of market value, is now trading at negative yields. That means that investors are effectively paying borrowers to lend to them, giving away $100 and a few years later getting back $99. In the Eurozone, more than half of all such outstanding bonds are priced in this upside-down way, according to TradeWeb. What gives? Bond prices move in the opposite direction to rates, so negative yields are another way to say that prices for these bonds have risen really, really high. Well, you know, the term negative interest rates seems so strange, and it's so contrary to our experience and our expectations that it seems incomprehensible or even crazy. But if we take the time to simply look and see, what do negative interest rates actually do? What do they do? If we identify that, we can begin to understand, or at least we may be able to more easily understand the concept. What do negative interest rates do? They rob creditors. Man has $1,000 to invest. He invests it with some government that's paying negative interest rates on their bonds. And when he gets his money back, he gets $950. He invested $1,000. And he gets $950 back. He's losing money. Negative interest rates rob creditors, and conversely, at the same time, they enrich debtors, borrowers. You get to borrow and pay back your debt with cheaper dollars or fewer dollars. Now, in that regard, once you look at what negative interest rates do, forget the name, just what do? They rob creditors. In that regard, negative interest rates are equivalent to inflation. Both of them only do one thing. They rob creditors, or conversely, they enrich borrowers at the same time. That's what inflation does. Everybody who's bought a house for the past 40, 50 years in this country has been encouraged to do so with the promise that thanks to inflation, you'd be able to pay off your debt with cheaper dollars. Meaning that you get to rob the creditor thanks to inflation. Well, again, Since the Great Recession of 2008, central banks have been generally unable to use currency creation to increase the money supply and or artificially low interest rates to cause the levels of traditional inflation they need to stimulate their economies. Japan is a classic example. The United States is similar. I strongly suspect, I can't prove it yet, nor is that sort of thing, but I strongly suspect that the central banks have therefore opted to achieve the same result, robbing creditors and enriching borrowers, by imposing negative interest rates, right? If they can't create enough inflation, which robs creditors and enriches borrowers, they will create negative interest rates on the bonds, which do essentially the same thing. All right? I won't say they do it to the same degree, but it's the same idea. Negative interest rates do the same thing as to bonds as does inflation. So from my perspective, if you begin to look at that, look at it from that perspective, negative interest rates are not so incomprehensible. They're not as irrational as many of us may have thought, including me. When I first started hearing the term, I thought, what the heck? People must be crazy. Well, it's an act of desperation, but it's really just another form of inflation from the perspective of robbing creditors and allowing borrowers to pay their debts with cheaper dollars. Right. Here the article continues. It says negative interest rates reflect anxiety among investors. I'm not sure that's exactly true, but that's what they say. Negative interest rates reflect anxiety from among investors who are willing to lock in small losses on their money rather than risk the chance of something worse by putting their cash into other assets. Now, in other words, they're willing to put their money in. They say, I'd rather lose $5 or $10 on a $100 investment in bonds. I'm going to lose maybe a buck or two or three or five. I'd rather lose five than I would take a chance on investing in stocks and maybe lose 50. Right? And that's a rational point. But why bother with the bonds if you can get yourself into gold? That's one perspective I'm looking at. And Bill Gross, bond investor, he says, worry for now about the return of your money, not the return on your money. Big time bond investor, he's saying, don't worry about it. Don't worry about what the inflation rate is going to be or the yield is going to be. Will you get, if you invest $1,000, will you get $1,000 or the vast majority of it back? He's saying that circumstances are such that right now there is a high probability that you invest $1,000, you're not going to get $1,000 back. And he's suggesting, he doesn't say it outright, he doesn't come out right and say it, at least not in this article, but he is implying that you're going to suffer some serious losses if you put your money into stocks or even bonds. You're going to suffer serious losses of your principal. You put in $1,000 and maybe you're only going to get $900 or maybe $500 back. And that's what he's warning about. Don't worry about return. I don't care if they're promising to pay 20% or 10% or 5% yield on whatever it is, or interest rate on whatever it is you're lending your currency to, or you're using your currency to purchase. He's saying ignore that and start looking and say, will you get your principal back? And he, by implication, he's saying we are coming into a time when principal is going to be lost for a lot of people, which is exactly what we've been warning about on this program for a number of years.
And isn't that why he's pitching it? This statement is to get people into bonds. So he's kind of warning. He's warning them. He's warning people what to expect, because I do believe Bill Gross understands and he is expecting a large part of these principles to be lost. And on the other hand, he's calming people because he don't want to lose their clients by selling their bonds. He wants to put them in the bonds, you know, so.
The implication he's saying that whatever yield you might hope to get off stocks is insufficient for the risk that you're going to see a significant loss in the stock market. Perhaps by implication he's saying go into bonds, therefore, and take a little loss rather than a big loss in the stock market. What we're saying,
but even
don't take even a little loss. Get some gold, get some silver. High probability you won't lose anything.
Because when he was working for PIMCO, he was talking about how the bond market, it was just a big bubble. Well, therefore, he's no longer working for PIMCO. So
maybe he can get a job with Lawrence Welk. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Thank you. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. We just mentioned Bill Gross, who is advising people to worry about the return of your money rather than the return on your money. All right? Regardless of what happens, try to get 100%. If you got $1,000 to invest, try to do it in a way where you think you'll get the $1,000 back. Don't be bamboozled by a promise of getting 5% interest or 2% negative interest or 10% interest or whatever. He says, don't worry about the interest rate. Worry about the principal. He's talking about preserving your wealth. Fundamental theme we've pushed on this program for a number of years. I doubt that there's a better way of preserving your wealth in gold. Here's Bill Gross again with another article that was in Business Insider. And it says, Bill Gross, the headline, Bill Gross, the economy is a monopoly board and everybody is losing. Bill Gross thinks the world economy is playing a losing game. In his latest investment outlook on Wednesday, Gross said credit creation had reached its limits. There was nothing central banks could do about it. Now, if so, that means austerity is coming for all debtors and debtor nations. We talked about austerity yesterday and the idea that Greeks are caught in austerity. All austerity means is you got to pay your bills. All right. Again, the analogy used previously talking about austerity, you can max out your credit card today to take the wife to Tahiti. For a couple of weeks. All right? Go first class and have everything great and spend 25 grand And it makes for a great July. I took the wife to Tahiti. It was wonderful. But wait, next month the bills come in. That's also called austerity. You have a big time when you go to Tahiti with a wife. Then the next month you come home and you get the bills and you can't afford to buy. You can't afford to go out for dinner. All right. You are going into austerity because you have to pay your bills, or at least you have to try. That's what's going on with Greece and so on. And when Gross warns that credit creation has reached its limits and there's nothing central banks can do about it, he's implicitly indicating that austerity is coming. If we can't get more free money out of the banks, or money at even at negative interest is better than free. If we can't get cheap money, free money, negative interest rates, if we can't get that, we won't borrow it. Guess what? Somebody's going to say, hey, you guys can't, if you can't roll over your debt by borrowing more money, how about you pay the debt? And everybody's going to scream just like they were Greeks. They say, no, no, not austerity. We don't want you to raise taxes or cut benefits. You know, we want the government to just keep on borrowing and borrowing and borrowing and never actually paying its bills, which is why we have this enormous national debt. We have borrowed and borrowed and borrowed, just as the Greeks borrowed and borrowed and borrowed, only we did much more. And sooner or later, we're going to have to pay, and Gross is saying the time is approaching. He's saying that by implication because he says credit creation has maxed out. He goes on and he says this means the global economy, which is based on credit creation, in turn is slowly grinding to a halt. When we say credit creation, what do we mean? When we say credit, we also mean debt. You say the economy is based on credit creation. Yeah, that's true. But credit sounds like a good term. It has a positive, I don't know, persona. It has a positive aura about the term credit. We like credit. But the flip side is debt. This is a debt-based monetary system. It's a debt-based, they can say it's a credit-based economy, but it's debt-based. And you need to understand that because that is a more realistic term. And people say, wait a second, I don't know if I want to go into debt or not. I love that credit, but I don't know if I want to go into debt. Debt means austerity, just as sure as night follows day. If you're going to go out and borrow a bunch of money, sooner or later, the creditors are going to want it back. You're not going to be able to borrow anymore. The creditors are going to want it back, and you're going to go into a period of austerity. All of this, Gross continues, this is all these financial elements are about properties on a larger economic landscape, best typified by a monopoly board. In that game, capitalists travel around the board, buying up properties, paying rent, and collecting $200 each and every time they pass go. That $200 of cash, which in the economic scheme of things represents new credit, is responsible for the ongoing health of our finance-based system. Without new credit, economic growth moves in reverse, and individual player bankruptcies become more probable. He's just saying, look, we got to have credit. We got to have debt to keep this thing running. And he goes on, he says, the rub is that to sustain economic growth in the real world, the amount of credit extended or debt created by private banks, the $200 in the monopoly board analogy, must continue to increase to fund new projects. I must also continue to increase to pay off existing debt. We got to borrow more to roll over existing debt and pay off new product. If the credit creation stops or even significantly slows, then how do we pay the debt? And somebody's going to come knocking and want that money. And again, that's when we go into austerity. But it's an important point. The credit must continue to increase in order to fund new products or projects and keep the economy moving.
And this is why I'm pleased to have Doug Nolan on a Tuesday, because this is what his whole analysis is all about, going back for 30, 40 years on how this credit has been created, this debt has been created in order to, you know, keep the system, the economy going, in order to keep the stock market higher. I mean, we don't work, we don't get paid for working at a job anymore. You get paid by having your money in the stock market. And, but all this credit and all this money that's being created has just funneled us out of these recessions, each one that we've had, creating bubble on top of bubble. It's a credit bubble.
And a debt bubble also. Again,
debt,
when you
credit,
say credit,
debt,
you mean debt.
Credit, debt.
Right? Two words are, it's like the head and the tail on two sides of a coin.
Right.
Right?
So, yeah, so this is our economy today. And we know bubbles break.
And once, and what fuels the bubble? What fills the bubbles? Credit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes for bubbles. Unearned money gets pumped into something, and all of a sudden it seems to get bigger and bigger and bigger, but it's inflated with credit and or debt instruments. That's what makes the bubble. And when all of a sudden you run out of credit, guess what? Pop, pop, pop. All right? Gross is making the point here that for gross domestic product to continue to grow in the United States and elsewhere, credit growth must continue.
That's right.
This is probably... This may explain the subprime loans that we ran into in 2000 through 2008.
It explains the drop in interest rates in order to create the subprime loan.
They've got to generate some more debt.
They have to generate programs.
Keep this thing going. They are riding a debt tiger right now. And the only way they can keep it going, it's like you got to keep writing checks. All of the checks bounce, but you got to keep writing them and work the float. And I don't know if we still have a float in the banks today where you can write it, put a deposit in your account today, and you know it's not going to. You can put a deposit of your own money, your own one of your checks from another account. Or you can put it into the bank. And back in 20 years ago, it took them 3-4 days to figure out that your check was going to bounce. You got a 3-day float there.
No, right? you got less than 24 hours. You got less than 24 hours now, Al.
Yeah, I know. We're in the electronic age and the rest of that sort of thing, so you don't get
some
that
banks you might, because it depends on if they're big enough in order to sign up for the processing in order to have your checks cleared for within the first day. There's still some of the smaller banks that aren't part of that.
But the net result is you still go into austerity when you don't have enough money in your bank account to make your checks clear.
Remember, we did that when we were kids.
I understand.
Yeah.
Credit growth, he says again, gross domestic product. For gross domestic product to continue to grow in the U.S. and elsewhere, credit growth must continue. Again, this may explain subprime loans back a decade ago. If credit/debt must be increased, constantly increased, to stimulate the economy, a debt-based monetary system, and a debt-based economy, we've got to go deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. If something happens and we can't go deeper into debt, we're in big trouble. And again, this may explain subprime loans. It said, look, the people that are good credit risks aren't borrowing enough. We can't cut deals to get these people in the door. So let's bring the losers in here. Let's get the subprime borrowers in here. We'll lend them some money. We have to create more debt. And if the worthy credit candidates won't borrow more, then we'll find people who are unworthy. And we'll lend to them. Right? Yeah, it'll blow up in our face later, but not right now. We'll be able to put off that moment of austerity. We got into that austerity. We started that subprime borrowing on mortgages, and we got into the austerity somewhere around 2007, 2008. Began to become apparent, oh dear, the subprime mortgagees, they can't actually pay their bills. Wasn't a surprise. They knew it from the beginning, but... Again, this it may be simply because we need more debt to fund and operate a debt-based monetary system. And when you stop to think about it, it's a system that guarantees pain, not just difficulty, But sooner or later, you reach a point where you can't go any deeper into debt, and that's what Bill Gross says we're at right now. You can't. Nobody's. There aren't enough people left to continue lending. All right, that's the implication. He doesn't say that, but that's the implication. We can't go deeper into debt. That means the debt-based system is going to implode. We got it. We're on that debt tiger, and we got it. We got more debt, more debt, more debt, more debt, and more debt. And if we can't, and if that stops, then the bubble pops, and the tiger is going to eat some or all of us. Well, that's enough out of this article. There's more to it, but that's the main point I wanted to get to, is that we're at that, we are approaching the moment of austerity, which is nothing more than the time when somebody says, hey, how about paying your bills? That's what austerity is all about. And when the Greek people were exposed to austerity, they said, oh, no, this is crazy talk. We don't want to pay our bills. We just want to keep on dancing, breaking plates, singing hopa, all right, and living off somebody else's credit. They give us money and we dance. And now they want us to stop dancing and actually pay the money back? And the Greek people are screaming about it. And they've got some justification because they've been hustled and snookered. You know, it's like feeding a kid enough candy to make him sick. The child may continue to choke down the candy, but as an adult, you should know better. There's a limit. How much candy can you feed the kid before the kid becomes ill? The creditors should have known they were giving too much candy to the Greek children. And they should have known that the Greek children were not only they'd get sick, they wouldn't be able to repay that candy. Same thing is true in this country. Again, national debt, they admit to $20 trillion. John Williams at ShadowStats.com, I've said this 100 times perhaps on the program. He says, no, right now it's closer to $100 trillion in national debt. Congressional Budget Office and economist Lauren Kotlikoff have said, no, it's actually a little over $200 trillion if you include unfunded liabilities. The day is coming. Again, just as sure as night follows day, we're going to have that period of austerity, just like the Greeks had. And people are going to scream and shout. And the one thing about it is this. If I were a young man today, 18, 20 years old, 30, even 40, and I were, and the government said, well, you have to make good on your parents' and grandparents' debts. You have to, but you're the ones that are going to have the period of austerity. The old folks got the advantage of borrowing the money, but they left the bills to their children and their grandchildren. If I were among the children and the grandchildren, I would tell the old folks, of which I am a member, I'd tell them, I'm not paying your bills. There's no reason why the young people in this country should be obligated to pay off for the good times, the senior citizens and the rest. We're the ones that went to Tahiti, and we're leaving the bills to the kids. And they're not even going to be able to buy their own shack while they're paying off our bills.
That's just it. They won't.
I don't blame them a bit.
They can't. Well, it's not that they won't or don't want to. They won't be able to. They won't have the money to.
They will be encouraged.
They will be poor.
Trying a period of time. And the solution to this problem is a balanced budget amendment, where each generation, if you want to go to Tahiti, you pay for the trip. You don't leave the cost of the trip to your children and your grandchildren. A bill comes due for the generation that goes to Tahiti. They pay for the trip to Tahiti. All right? We have a balanced budget amendment. We avoid some of these problems. We avoid austerity, debt payment, by not going into debt. Balanced budgets that can do this. Government doesn't want that. The public doesn't want it, which only says, okay, fine. Day is coming when we will experience austerity. The moment is coming when we will also experience some more commercial announcements. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for Thyme Tincture NT to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I wanted to bring a little package to the listeners today. As usual, we have a 20-pack of Silver Eagles. That's 20 to a tube. 2016 is the date for 1 ounce American Silver Eagles. And I have a half-ounce American Gold Eagle coin, so a little bit bigger than the 1/10. It's a half ounce, 1/2 ounce American Gold Eagle. It includes your shipping costs. And also with this special, you will receive a free Silver Eagle. So basically, you're going to get 21 Silver Eagles for the price of 20, 1/2 ounce American Gold Eagle. It includes your shipping cost. And the complete package is $1,225. $1,225. It's a great little package. Increase your fractional pieces to half ounce and call us at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. $20 gold pieces or steel, even the fractional ones, $10 Liberties, Mint State 61. I have some for $780. Regular price is way over $800, and so you're getting a real good buy at $780. And actually, it's only $40 more than a half-ounce American Gold Eagle. So if you'd like to switch out, we can adjust the price for you a little bit and include that Mint State 61 $10 Liberty Gold piece. Yeah. We were talking through the breakout, and you know, we were talking about the children and the grandchildren. They're not going to have.
They're going to be stuck with the bills.
They're not going to have money. The jobs in this country. Sure, Trump can bring some jobs back.
Well, they can bring them all back. I mean, it's like Japan got bombed into oblivion after World War II, and within some like 15 years, there about 20 years, they were second strongest economy in the world.
With the help of the United States.
Yeah, but I mean,
you know,
it can be
so,
done.
You know,
this is not a,
but
this
it was
is not,
with the
but
help.
There's going to be a bumpy road before we get to that, before we get back to a happy ending.
Well, absolutely, but I mean, it can happen, but I mean, with the technology. If you believe in technology, if you believe that that's the next big thing to come along the way to where it's going to be replacing a lot of jobs and so forth, the population, the growth, the changeover, you know, 20, 30 years, I don't know if this country will be recognizable.
No, I understand.
But,
I understand.
So again, there's going to be.
There's a debate whether it'll be recognizable 5 years from now, and
I'm
from
a little
the perspective
optimistic.
Of even 15 years ago.
I know.
Is this country? Would this country be recognizable to the people of 15 years ago? If they saw what was going on right now, would they sit back and say, "Yeah, that looks like America to me"? I mean, we get into this. It's like cooking frogs. We kind of ease into this every day, every week, every month. We get a little deeper into whatever it is we're getting into right now, and we don't notice the change. But if it was possible to slip back into that time machine and go back 15, 20 years and look at today from that perspective, would this country be recognizable? Not so much. I mean, yeah, you'd still see it. It wouldn't be invisible, but there'd be a lot of shocked people.
People are conditioned to believe that things are better. I can see the changes because this is what I do. I mean, and gold is a very obvious clue as to what's going on. If you know gold and silver, you know the markets, you see the changes. You've seen it. You talk about it. We talk about it. I talked about it for 25 years. So we have seen the changes slowly as it comes because that's what it's all about. But those who aren't involved, you're right. I don't think they see the change, and they've been conditioned to believe that things are better. The young people, you know, they've been so dumbed down in school. They believe that this is the right way to be. Socialism is it. You know, they like all this technology. They like no community. And try communicating with some of these young kids today. And it's, no, they don't see. They don't see the changes. And
oh,
they are the
danger.
Frogs.
What's the danger in not
they
seeing
the
changes?
They are the frogs.
What's the danger in not seeing the changes?
You tell us, Al.
If you can't see how you've changed in the last 15 years, then you have no way of predicting what's going to happen in the next 5, 10, or 15 years. You've got to have that sense of change. You've got to have that sense of history in order to connect the dots and say, well, if we've gone from this situation in 1970 to here we are today, then let's just extend that trend line. Let's connect those dots, extend that trend line. And at that point, you say, oh, my gosh, look where we're headed.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that sense of history, you can't have a sense of what's likely to be headed your way. And if you can't see what's coming out of the future, or at least make a pretty good guess at it, then you're not going to be prepared. You're going to be taken by surprise. So there's the danger in people who have no sense of history and can't remember what things were like just 10, 15, 20 years ago.
And when we get into these times, there's a lot of sheep in wolf's clothing. So, you know, it's very dangerous times. And the thing is to be safe and secure.
I mean, there's a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing.
Oh, is that what I said?
Yeah, I think you said there's a lot of sheep in wolf's clothing.
Sorry about that, folks. Thank you, Al. It's been a long day. But the point is, you know, you really have to be careful in what you do, what you hear. And, you know, we're always happy to help folks if they have questions on various things. I had a good friend. She called me the other day and wanted me to do a little research on, I think it was Oxford, some sort of an Oxford group. And, you know, I did, and I don't have it all together yet. But I'll tell you what, it's just another part of the problem. They have a very nice cover, but when you start looking deep and underneath, not so much. So just be careful out there, folks. We're here to help you. We're here to get you prepared. It's okay to get out of the markets. You can always get back in. If you have paper investments and so forth, get out while you can. Get out while you can. We talked about the banks in Italy. We talked about in England some of the funds that are closing and freezes on people's money. It can happen here. It will happen here.
Yeah, it's coming. I mean,
it's
again,
coming.
You talk about, you know, austerity as if this is some sort of a magical time or mystical. There's nothing mystical about it. So next month, you got to pay on the credit bills from this month. You're going to take that trip to Tahiti this month. Next month, you're going to have austerity while you're paying off the credit card. Huh? That's all austerity means. You got to pay your bills.
and take a look around at what's happening. Folks, those are all, you know, it all works together. It all happens together. You know, we didn't get to one point or one place without, you know, not getting to that point someplace else. It all works together.
Well, you know, here's a comment from Frank that's a little bit along those lines. We were talking about the need for subprime debtors, subprime loans to create subprime debts given to subprime debtors who they knew pretty good, pretty, they had high probabilities, people aren't going to pay their bills. They knew they weren't fit to, they wouldn't be able to come back and pay their bills, much like the Greeks weren't able, they should have known, the creditors should have known, like the Greeks aren't going to pay back that much money. All right? Well, we were talking in the previous segment about how we suspect, all right, advance the hypothesis that this may explain why they had subprime mortgage loans. Because they had to generate more credit to keep this debt-based monetary system going. And Frank responds, he sends an instant message, and he says, it also explains the flow of illegals and refugees.
Sure.
They all get credit applications in the mail. It may be, it's entirely possible that Frank is right about that, that the reason they're allowing the illegals to come into this country is so they can apply for credit to create more debt. This is the subprime borrowers. All right? Somebody's got to create more debt. Somebody's got to sign on a line. They've got to take a piece of paper, sign on a line, and say, I promise to pay X number of dollars back in 12 months or 60 months or 30 years or whatever it is. The debt-based monetary system runs on the creation of more debt, more debt, more debt. And if you people aren't willing to go into debt, then the government's going to find some who are. And if they're illegal aliens, good. They're not particular. Just can we get them to take some credit? Because if they can, then they can hold this phony baloney debt-based monetary system together.
Yesterday I talked about Wells Fargo. It's the only bank that's trade as, at a premium to its book value. But for how long? You know, you talk about subprime, you know, they're issuing mortgages 3% down. You can have a low credit score, a FICO score of, what, 650 to the low, and then they get to sell those trades, those mortgages to Fannie Mae, to the government, where you and I are on the hook.
Yeah.
So, again, how long is that bank going to trade at a premium to its book value? Mm-hmm. So they have all sorts of programs in order to get people in to hook them into debt.
Yeah, go deeper into debt, go deeper into debt.
Look at the college tuition. Trillion. Over
trillion
what,
two.
1. Trillion. Yeah, 1.2.
Yeah.
Look at the automobiles. I was told there's even a 10-year loan for automobiles. Are you kidding me? 10 years to
there's
pay off?
There's a 50-year bond now in Switzerland that pays negative interest rates. That implies the Swiss government either thinks people are completely out of their minds, and they're saying, guess what? I bet you that I can get these idiots to buy 50-year bonds with a negative interest rate. And they are, so you're on for a steak dinner. Maybe that explains it. The alternative is they don't think things are going to smooth out for another 50 years. They think at least that there are investors who believe that we are looking at a half a century of stagnant or depressed economy headed our way. I don't believe that. All right? But how do you explain 50-year bonds with a negative interest rate? How do you sell that? I mean, that's interesting stuff to me, mm-hmm. because, again, it seems to indicate an incredible level of pessimism within the investor community, at least whatever investor community is interested in Swiss bonds. They've got to be sitting there and saying, the stuff's going to hit the fan, and I think this bond is a safe haven that will protect my wealth. And even though I'm losing money on it, I'm not losing all of my money, and therefore I'm interested in a 50-year bond with negative interest rates.
and try to distribute that wealth with your children. A great way to distribute your wealth is with $20 gold pieces. And yet, it just goes over everyone's head. They fall into all the, you know, to the people that are pushing paper and wanting you to get into bonds and all kinds of other garbage.
Well, everything we do is paper. It's been paper all my life, really. Virtually all my life. We had gold. We had silver coins still in circulation back when I was young. When I was a boy and a young man, the rest of that sort of thing. But for the last 40 odd years, it's been paper, 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 and we are so habituated to it.
Again, sure, because everybody accepts it.
It was like we were talking about earlier. You don't see where we were. You know, you need that sense of history to see where we were, where, and now look where we are, connect the two dots, and it gives you a projection. You can project that into the future with some confidence and say, this gives us an idea where we're going. This paper is going to take us to disaster, and a lot of people are going to be hurt terribly, and the nation is going to be hurt. It'll survive, but it's going to be hurt. We're going to see something that will make the Great Depression look like picnic. And what are you going to do? Prepare as best you can. You know, it may be that we simply lack the ability to communicate these ideas to all of your friends and neighbors in a way where they can understand them and they can say, you know, that's right. I think I better get ready. And insofar as we're unable to communicate these ideas to everybody in the country in a way that they find convincing and comprehensible, that indicates that it's up to you to protect yourself. Your neighbors aren't going to be able to protect themselves. They don't get it, and they're not going to get it until the stuff hits the fan. And when it does, they're going to say, "You mean this is the stuff they were talking about on that radio program? Is this what they meant when they were talking about austerity? Yeah, it's time to pay the bills." And if you can't, you don't have the money to pay the bills, it means you're going to need a job, and the only jobs that are going to be available are going to be for $4 an hour. And people are going to be happy to have them. Some people will be. Not everybody, but I mean, some people are going to be happy to have them. So, headed for trouble. If you can't see it coming, you know, and your neighbors, you're not alone. Most of your neighbors can't exactly see it coming. They're not getting ready, they're not getting prepared, but it is incumbent on you if you see. If you have ears to hear and eyes to see, get ready. Got big trouble headed our way. Part of the solution or remedy for that trouble is to get yourself some gold and silver. Give Melody a call, 1-800-375-4188. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back on Monday. Have a good weekend. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.